Good morning. We welcome you. Let's slow our hearts and minds down to think about our God, who is good all the time. Today is January 1 of 2023. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, from the Amplified Bible of 119-105. Your word I have treasured and stored in my heart, that I may not sin against you, from the Amplified Bible, 119, verse 11. Our worship must be true to the Word of God. We will be singing, "Holy, holy, holy, God of our fathers, how firm a foundation," and our response hymn, "When I Look into Your Holiness." Let's stand, please, as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy."
Our song shall rise to thee.
Dennis, would you please come and give us our prayer? Dennis? Oh, there you are. Your hearing aid must not be as good as mine.
Morning. Happy New Year. Let us pray. Father, we come this morning thanking you for bringing us through this past year. And we pray, Lord, you'd be with us through this coming year. We pray that we would have faith in you and look to you for guidance in all that you that we do, Lord, and look to you in what we in all the things that come up to in this coming year. We just thank you again, Lord, for all the many blessings you've given us, and just pray that you bless us through this year. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
If we have our ushers, please, to come forward to take our morning offering. Lord God, you are our provision. You are every provision. Help us to give back to you from your goodness. Amen. Children's call for your children's church and fellowship. this time, Brother Terry will come and introduce our new interim.
Good morning. One more good morning to you again, and Happy New Year one more time. It is a blessing to be here, and I'm thankful every time we get to get together. We've been a blessed church. God sent Brother Robert Wigley to us for the last 13 months. We're grateful for his service to the Lord and to us and bringing his word every day. He's continued to bless us in that way as we search for a pastor. And he's done that today in sending us Brother J.L. Adams as a transitional or interim pastor, as we like to call them. There's a little difference in what they do, but not a lot. I've known this man probably 25 or 30 years or somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember how many, but he's here today. He lives not far from us. He's a man of the word. I've heard him preach. I've heard him do funerals, and I've seen him baptize kinfolks of ours. So I'm grateful that he's here. He has with him today his lovely wife, Miss Diana. And after he preaches, we would like for him and Miss Diana to come down front, for you to take a minute, come by, and tell him your name. And we won't ask him next Sunday if he remembers all of them, but he's probably better than me at remembering names. So we're grateful to have him here today. Anything else that he wants you to know, I'll let him tell you about him and about them. I want to remind you, while I'm here, I have instructions to tell you. Next Sunday, we would like to have a covered dish luncheon. That'll be January the 8th, and that'll be to welcome them and have some fellowship time with them and to eat together. I know you like to do that, because most of you usually hear when we eat, and we plan to do that next Sunday morning. So if you will, you bring what you like to eat, and we will provide the Baptist bird or something like that and the drink to go with it. So thank you for your time. Thank you for Brother J.L. and Miss Diana for being here and serving the Lord for all the years you have, and we welcome you here today. Thank you.
Well, I think the pastor should say good morning too, and Happy New Year. We look for a better years than we've had. Always looking for that better year. The Lord is with us all the time. We've already sung praises to Him this morning. I'm thankful. I immediately identified with Brother Julian. He mentioned the Mission Service Corps, and that's how I got into missions. My pastor said, "Have you ever thought about volunteering for the Mission Service Corps?" I said, "Well, no, I've got a construction business. I don't have time to go anywhere." But we were introduced, and lo and behold, that started us out on missions, and we've been doing missions ever since. And it's been a pleasurable time for all of us. I suppose a good number of you sat up last night and saw the final score. I'm sorry. I was pulling for them, and when they were two touchdowns behind, it was in the last quarter, I said, "Oh my." And my eyes were so heavy, I couldn't hold my head up. I got up this morning and flipped my cell phone to ESPN, and I 42-1, and it was Georgia. I just was afraid it was going to be Ohio State. We got a tremendous football team, and I think great men playing the game, and got a good coaching staff without a doubt. You've heard the proverbial statement of you can't put a square peg in a round hole. Well, you know, I just got really wise, and I thought I'd make a little device here that would be a little more presentable. But here, I've got a round peg and a square peg, and I'm sure you can tell by looking at that they fit. Now, you could swap those, and the square peg won't go in the round hole, but the round peg would go in the square hole. But there's a lot of space there that's left. It doesn't fill up and doesn't do the job you know, if you're talking about filling a space. So this morning, I've chosen an approach that maybe you'll be interested in. What about all of us being shaped? You ever think about God shaping you? Now, we're born with natural gifts and talents and physical features and all of that, but God works and he shapes us in a spiritual sense. And I want you to keep in mind that God has a purpose in this. He wants us to realize the value in him having control of our lives. And I've been around long enough to know that people go to church just to be going to church. Some people go to church to sing praises to God, honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Some want to serve him in many capacities within the church and outside as well. But, you know, as Great Commission Christians, we haven't completed our task. The task was given to us, and we're still going for it. And you all well know what COVID has done for our ministries of all kinds. So we're looking for better days ahead, and I know many of us say, well, you know, I can't go to the mission field, I can't do this. But, you know, our mission field is wherever we find ourselves. If you're at the restaurant, if you're buying gas, if you're getting groceries, if you're just running into some stranger or maybe a friend, that's a mission field. And all of us should never forget that. And I think of that word, location, location. Wherever we're located at the time is our mission field. And if we aren't Christian enough and wise enough to be able to share with that person, introduce yourself, if it's a stranger or whatnot, many churches don't really realize what they're about. Sad to say, I've been in a number of churches in the last several years, serving as interim, sometimes supply. And you know, I visited a church that was outside of my usual stomping ground. And I came down the aisle, and for some reason, I just wanted to turn around and kind of see what was behind me. I guess that's the nature of an individual. I'm not certain. But anyway, when I turned around, there was a big sign over the head of that doorway. This was just the one door coming down the center of the church, of course. And it said that you are now entering the greatest mission field as you pass through these doors. So what this church had determined and what they had decided to do was let the people be reminded when you go out these doors, that's the mission field. Now, I've heard some pastors say, and I can agree with them, sometimes the mission fields are within our own churches. But all of us as Christians, we've got mission work to do, and it can be done in different ways. The Lord had to twist me really hard to get me to see that and to sense that. And there was that day when I said, yes, Lord. I got tired of being twisted. I got tired of being reminded you should be doing this or that. Amazing how that happens in our lives. But you know, Jesus accepted the assignment himself. When he came into this world and he was in his latter days, you know, he prayed for himself in John chapter 17. He prayed for himself. He also prayed for the disciples that he had gathered together. And he also prayed for all of us, all believers, for all who will believe. He prayed for us. The work has not been completed. Jesus said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, as he prayed to God the Father. Amazing, isn't it, how Jesus prayed for us. But folks, we were put here on earth to make a contribution, not consume its resources. We all like to eat. We know we've got to breathe, and we take up space. Might not be the kind of space we ought to be taking up. But God, I do believe, is busy shaping all of us to serve Him in a mighty, mighty way. It will make a difference in one's life. You can call it ministry. You can call it being on mission. You might even say, you know, service, service. God's busy doing that. There may be times when you may not realize it. It took a few years for me to realize it. Some people realize it early on in life, some a lot later. But the truth is, folks, we were created to serve God. Number one, we were created to serve God. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, I've always been amazed at that one verse. And I've never heard it literally preached from the perspective that I see it. But listen to it. For we are God's workmanship. Workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That's the only reason any church exists today, is to equip people to do what God has outlined for us to do. You know, the church, we always think of the church as having plenty of Christians in it, created to serve, folks, but we were also saved to serve God. Saved. Born again, which is terminology we Baptists seldom use anymore. But let me read some encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy, reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the first 14 verses, and listen carefully to the words that Paul uses in thinking about being shaped and being prepared for ministry. He was encouraging Timothy, but it ought to be encouragement for us this morning, or any time the scripture applies to our lives. Paul said he was an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son. Now, Paul had a strong affinity for Timothy, without question. And he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul further says, and of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. See, ministry really is just more than pastors, preachers, teachers. Ministry is for all Christians. Yes, you call ministers to serve in various capacities. But you know, in the Bible, the word servant and minister are literally synonyms. One in the same, we could say. It's service, it's ministry. We involve ourselves in that respect. So, you know, if you're a Christian, you are a minister in some respects. And you're serving when you're ministering. You're serving Almighty God, our Creator. Yes, we were created to serve. We were saved to serve. But what about being called to serve? Now, I answered the call to ministry. Most ministers can tell you, I answered the call. There was a call. There was a knock-knock. There was a disturbance within to stir our thoughts and our ideas. So we're called to serve God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Man alive, the calling. I've been told that ministers are leaving the pulpits, leaving their churches, and yet we have others coming on. I don't know where the balance is. It's 50-50, 50-40, 60-40-30. I have no idea. But see, every Christian is called to service, and we need to recognize that we as the church, we're one in Christ. We're one because he died to establish the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, you disciples are going to build it. He didn't point out to any other person. He said, I. Jesus was speaking about himself. I will build my church. In Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And each one of you is a part of it. Why do people leave churches? Why are people uncomfortable in churches? Do they not feel accepted? Do they feel that they're not a part of the church and the ministry of it, its services? But being created to serve, saved, and called, folks, we're commanded to serve God. And every one of you are familiar with that commandment. Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom many. To serve and to give. Those are two words that I highlighted in my Bible. To serve and to give. See, as we attempt to fulfill the command, we'll understand more and more about serving and giving of ourselves. But that great commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus said, I'll get my thoughts together here in a minute. I got a twisted tongue. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. He said, therefore, based on the basis of that statement, he was saying that I want you. And he was speaking to his disciples. He said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's everywhere, folks. That's why we have state missions, why we have foreign missions. Go and make disciples everywhere. And he said this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he also said, I'll never leave you. Now, folks, that's the thrill and the joy of being a Christian today, knowing that Jesus Christ will never leave us. He will never leave us. It's his word that he has given to all of us. As we grow toward spiritual maturity, that growth has a purpose. It's for ministry. I came out of a construction background. Father, grandfather, great uncles, and what have you. By the way, one of my great-great uncles built the courthouse over in Reedsville. George W. Adams, if you want to go check it out. I never thought I'd leave the ministry. I never thought about it. I was all for it. I had a brother who'd been in ministry for a number of years, but not me. I was a construction man. But there came that day, folks. God knocks on your heart's door and gets your attention, and you've got to move. Whew. My first 2 weeks at seminary, I looked up and I said, Lord, you have made a major mistake. Folks, I did want to come home. I had been in a classroom setting, as far as teaching is concerned, since 1958. I was out of my comfort zone. I didn't like it, but Lord, the next week, things begin to get a little brighter. So, in 1990, I graduated from seminary. So thank the Lord I made it this far. But folks, we've got to act on what we know and practice what we claim to believe. And I've been in churches where they really want to serve the Lord. They want to reach out to people. And I've been in some churches that let them figure it out for themselves. But studying the scriptures ought to impress all of us to be on mission. I don't know where I got this thought from, but when we are impressed from the Bible, when we're impressed by the Holy Spirit, without expression leads to what? Depression. So I got a word for everybody that's feeling depressed. Read the word. Open your heart up before God and just receive what he has for you. Be impressed by what the scriptures say. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, be impressed with that. And you can express joy, the thrill of being alive again. Another way to keep some of this in mind is this thought. Information from the Bible or information from God, the Holy Spirit, without application leads to stagnation. But when we apply what we hear, what we understand, folks, our lives are transformed. And that's what it's all about. Jesus wants people to be transformed, be renewed. Matter of fact, here's a definition for spiritual transformation. It's God's work of changing a believer into the likeness of Jesus by creating a new identity in Christ and by empowering a lifelong relationship of love, truth, and obedience to glorify God. Wow. Spiritually transformed. What a life it can be for all of us. We've been commanded to serve, and we ought to exercise our spiritual muscles, if you please. And the way to do it is have some serving experiences. Serve when and where we can. See, our natural inclination is generally the opposite of serving. You know, let everybody figure it out for themselves. I've got it made. I'm moving right along here. I don't need any help. But, you know, I refer to that as the selfishness syndrome. I, me, my, and mine. Think about those four words. I, me, my, and mine. You'll figure it out for yourself. That's the selfishness syndrome, as I say it. We have a tendency to think that everybody ought to serve us, or maybe the church ought to serve us. But the word really is service. We are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in his service. We're in his army. So we tend to pray, Lord, bless us. But the truth is, we ought to say, we ought to be a blessing to God. I know when I was in Dublin serving there, there was a church, I don't even know which church it was, but they put out signs, God bless America. And we've all heard that, but the signs everywhere around the countryside in Lawrence County. Well, there was one here and one there, everywhere you look. Well, one day I passed a home and they had a sign that they had made up. And it says, America, bless God. Think about it. Both have great meaning, no doubt. I'm not putting one down. But somebody did have that thought. We need to a blessing to the Lord. And you know, we shouldn't refute the fact by any means that we've been created, we've been saved, or even called or commanded to serve the Lord. We shouldn't refute that at all. Because at the end of our lives, we're going to stand before a holy God and He's going to evaluate what all we've been doing. Y'all have heard that one before, I'm sure. So, supportive of that, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, meaning that we have no excuses, he said this, he says, though then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Nobody else is going to stand in for us, folks. We have to give an account to God when he comes again, no doubt about it. As someone has said, it's not how long you live, but how you have lived on God's earth. How have we lived? It's not how long we live. Some people make a great contribution serving the Lord at an early age. Maybe they pass away at an early age. But there are those that are still living, that are serving the Lord. Many of you serve the Lord in many capacities here in this church and around in our community, I'm sure. But nothing should hold us back from serving the Lord. You know, there were a lot of people in the scriptures that we wondered, Lord, why did you use these people? I made a list of some people that you just can't imagine. Listen to them. First one I put down was Abraham was old and he fathered a child in his old age. Then there was Jacob, who was insecure. There was Leah, who was unattractive. There was Joseph, who was abused by his brothers. Moses stuttered. He said, I can't lead. But what? God made a way for him to lead. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. A harlot. And God used her. Amazing. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. He wrote Lamentations. Jonah was reluctant. He was a runaway saint. He was the only saint that ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric. He proclaimed Jesus was the Lamb of God, a sacrifice for all of the people in that day, and a sacrifice for you and me today. And then Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Remember him? Martha worried a lot. She complained about her sister Mary being with Jesus. The Samaritan woman had many failed marriages. Zacchaeus was an unpopular tax collector. And Thomas had doubts. That's where we get that phrase. He's a doubting Thomas. Paul had poor health. He was in prison a lot. And Timothy, he was a timid guy. A timid guy. A list of misfits. Can y'all imagine? God used them. So we all ought to feel worthy when we come to know who Jesus Christ is in our life, folks. We're willing to serve him in the church and outside the church, in our schools and our communities. We're going to need more of that in the next few years than we've ever had before. I'm convinced of that fact. Remember what Ephesians said? We are God's workmanship. We're God's workmanship. Your purpose, my purpose, is to serve God. Serving God is not just showing up for Sunday school and church. And I've seen a lot of that, and you probably have too. Folks, we have been created. We are created beings. We were created to serve. We were saved so that we can serve, understanding who Jesus Christ is and what our purpose is. We've been called to serve, and we are commanded to serve. Have you responded in any of those areas? Do you understand your creative, your created body? Do you understand salvation? Have you put it into effect in your life? Maybe in the lives of others? Do you understand the call is on everybody? I've heard it for years. Matter of fact, I might have said it when I was a layman. Preacher, you ought to do this. A smart preacher would say, what's holding you back? That's what some of us needed to hear years ago. I'm telling you, we want the preacher to do everything. There's much he can do, but folks, the church, the body of Christ, is responsible for doing more than we've ever done. We've got to do that. This morning, there could be someone here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There could be someone here that God is knocking on your heart's door, and you need to make a decision. This morning, we're going to sing a hymn, and I invite you to come. I'm going to stand at front of the church here and greet one. If anyone likes to come forward for prayer, you want to share something with the church, feel free to do that. Let's all stand and sing.
When I look into your holiness, shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your heart, when all things that surround become shadows.
Thank you.
in the ministry, and you're here to serve the church, so whatever needs there may be, feel free to call on us through the deacon body or through the church office. And we want to get the needed minute of you to begin. If you'll just give us a first name again, we'll try to grab a few. I've already got a few of the deacons anyway. Let's go on our hearts together and pray. Father, we're blessed to be together. Thank you for this day, Lord. A new year. Lord, we're another year older. We're another day older. But here we come, Lord, to worship you and praise your holy name. And thank you for First Baptist, Lord. Thank you for the people that have given of themselves for years in this church. Thank you for the leaders that have come, Lord, and they've moved on. Thank you for the leadership that this church has, Lord, and the Sunday school, and the organization within the church. Music, Lord, yes. But we pray in this next year, all of us, and we're honored, Lord, with you, Lord. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our cities, our counties, and Lord, our schools in particular. So we thank you for your love and the mercy you have shown all of us. And we ask your blessing upon us as we depart this morning. Thank you, we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.